what I'd like to share with you tonight and invite us to think about and maybe share some ideas is perception or perspective. Perception in Buddhist practice is very fundamental. It's very important. It is one of the five skandhas, that is, one of the five processes that make up a human. In our practice, we describe humans in terms of processes rather than these solid individuals. And perceptions, the five are form, feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness. So perception is one of the processes that make up a human being. And perception is a way of taking in the world through the senses. And then it is processed or sometimes filtered through the mind. Also in Buddhist practice, the mind is considered the sixth sense. So our perceptions can lead to our perspective. Our perspective can lead to our views. And when we have views and we latch onto them, we hold on to them very tightly, this creates suffering, often for ourselves and for other people. The Buddha said many times that most of our perceptions are erroneous. That's interesting to think about, isn't it? Because, of course, we assume, I think, that our perceptions are correct. And often we assume that our perceptions are the correct one and somebody else's are not. When in fact, they're both perceptions. They're both the way we see something. And it may or may not be true. They're at best partially true. Because as humans, we don't have the whole big picture. We see things from our perspective. But it's so easy to forget that and think that what we observe or what we hear or take in is what's true. I'm reminded when I was a young girl, my mother used to say, believe none of what you hear and only half of what you see. And I kind of, you know, chuckled at it. Now I understand the wisdom of that. Because we think that what we hear or what we see is absolutely true. And it may not be. So the idea in practice is to accept our perceptions without judgment. And that means not clinging, not grabbing on to them as being the way it is. There's the oft-repeated example of the six blind men and the elephant, right? And each man is positioned close to some part of the elephant. So one is feeling the ear, one is feeling the trunk, one is feeling the body, the rough skin or whatever it's called. One might be feeling the foot, one might be feeling the tail. And then they're asked, what is an elephant? Well, of course, each one describes from their perspective. And each one is both wrong and not wrong, because from their perspective, that's how it is. But since they don't have the whole perspective, they don't have the whole elephant, it's not entirely correct. It's only a piece. It's only part of the elephant. I think so often we tend to forget that we're seeing one piece of something from our perspective and not the whole. So I did this talk for Morgan Hill a few weeks ago, and one woman had sent out a video, very impressive. It was from another country, I can't remember, a less developed country. And there was a young boy that was coming late to class. And every day when he came in late, the teacher would have him hold out the palm of his hand and he would hit it with a ruler. That was his punishment for being late. And this went on day after day. And in the video, there wasn't much said, but you know, the boy put out his hand and the teacher slapped it with the ruler. Well, one day the teacher was coming to class and saw this young boy wheeling somebody in a wheelchair, probably presumably a relative or somebody close. And he was so surprised. So he went on to class, and when the young boy came in, instead of slapping him, he hugged him and apologized. Because, of course, he had made an erroneous assumption that the boy was, who knows, whatever, he was fooling around or wasn't getting ready in time or something. And how shocked he was when he saw it was quite the opposite, that he was actually helping. And that's why he was late to class. Another woman talked about a woman in the neighborhood that somehow the crows were gathering in her backyard. And you know how crows are, they make a horrible racket. And they were going on and making this racket. And she was annoyed, but she thought, okay, instead of getting angry, I'm going to feed them. So she did. And of course that brought more. And the neighbors weren't very happy with all these crows making their noise. But one day an older man in the neighborhood went outside and fell. And the crows made a racket so loud that people came out from their homes and of course found the man and were able to help him. So these are just a couple of examples of how easy it is for us to either misperceive something or make a determination, make a judgment based on what we see or what we hear that may in fact not be true at all. So I want to propose for you, and you can just think about it. Maybe there is no underlying objective reality. Maybe it's all perception. Perceptions that all of us have. And in fact, I think modern physics is showing this. It's all possibility. There isn't a concrete, determinant, objective reality. That can be hard for us because I think by and large, we assume that there is. And that if we could just get to it, then we would understand or we would know or we would be able to whatever. But what if there isn't? What if it's all constantly in motion, constantly changing, all impermanent, as we know? How would we hold that? So if the Buddha suggested that most of our perceptions are erroneous, what do we do? Well, as always, our strongest tool is our mindfulness. So when we see through our perceptions, that takes some of the strength of them. That takes the wanting to hold so tightly to them away. It reduces their power, reduces their strength. Our aim is to see things clearly. How do we see things clearly? Maybe it's impossible to see things totally clearly, but we do our best to see them. And when we have a perspective or a perception, we understand that it's limited. That it's ours. And if we were in a different position, either physically or mentally, we might see it very differently. So I want to read just a little bit from Thich Nhat Hanh about this point. Our perceptions carry with them all the errors of subjectivity. It is important to look deeply at our perceptions and know their source. He says, your concept or perception of reality is not reality. When you are caught in your perceptions and ideas, you lose reality. We see that all views are wrong views. No view can ever be the truth. We don't usually think that, do we? That's why it is called a point of view. Buddhism is not a collection of views. It is a practice to help us eliminate wrong views. Right view is the absence of all views. Right view is both a cause and an effect of all the other elements of the path. So all are points of view, not the view or not the reality itself. There's a quote from Longfellow. If we could read the secret history of our enemies, we should find in each person's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm all hostility. If we knew, and it wouldn't have to be enemies, just if we knew the reality of everyone's life, we would have much more empathy and much less hostility. So we have now with this pandemic, the opportunity to view this in different ways. And for some, of course, it's been extremely difficult. For others of us, as I've said, for me, it's, you know, it's a slight imposition. But no doubt it has changed things enormously. And how will we hold this? How do we now? And how will we? Do we see it just as, I hear so many adjectives, you know, horrible, terrible, etc. Or are there other ways of holding it? Other ways of seeing both the difficulties and perhaps some advantages, some positive changes. So there was an article, an editorial in the paper a while back, and it said, are we as people better or worse for COVID-19? And the author says, will we enter the world with appreciation for the fragility of life and the welfare of our neighbors? Will we donate more blood, increase our charitable donations, look in on our elderly neighbors with greater frequency? Or will our tribal instincts have rendered us more selfish and suspicious? A nation of xenophobic hermits who emerge periodically to brawl over toilet paper. It can go either way, can't it? It can help us to realize even more deeply our interdependence, our interconnectedness, and how, as human beings, we have a better chance at survival if we help each other, if we attend to each other, than if we draw into ourselves and only worry about ourselves, which from my perspective is what happened at the very beginning when there was such a run on toilet paper. I was more than a little astounded at that, you know? It seemed like, from my perspective, everybody was grabbing theirs, you know, so they could be sure and have it. And to heck with you if you didn't get it. And the shelves were bare for a short period of time. So this commentator also says, rather than wonder how the pandemic will generate technological and lifestyle windfalls for ourselves, we must ask what lessons from the pandemic we can harness to help others. Whether we are better or worse for COVID-19 is at least in part a verdict within our control. So we can choose how we see it, how we view it, and therefore, thereby, how we respond. As we can with everything. We are all conditioned by our culture, by our families, religions, etc. And so much of the time we forget that. We forget that we have been conditioned, that we carry within us these biases, and that they are just that. They're biases. They may have some truth to them, they may not. But we forget that they are our biases and not absolute truth. And when we remember that, when we remember that it's not necessarily absolute truth, then they lose some of their power, some of their grip on us. And we know that perception leads to perspective. Perspective leads to view. View leads to behavior or action. Body, speech, or mind. So it begins with perception, how we perceive what is happening around us and what we do with that perception. Can we hold it lightly? Can we hold it as my perception, my perspective, rather than the perception, the perspective? And as I say that, I'm reminded of another example for myself. As I'm aging, my perception, particularly at night, can be very skewed. And at first I thought, oh, my eyes are really, you know, getting bad. I can't see so clearly. Well, there's some truth to that, especially at night. But then I realized also, it's not just the eyes. The eyes take in what is, you know, right there, but the brain interprets it. So it's the eyes and the brain working together. That sometimes when it's dark, particularly when I'm driving, I see something, I see a form or something ahead, and it's unclear to me what it is. And of course, if it's raining, it's even worse. And then as I get closer and closer, sometimes it's totally different from what I had perceived, from what I thought. It can be very surprising. It used to be a little scary. It's not so much anymore. I have learned that that's what happens. And so I just wait until I get closer and see what it is. But it's been very, very interesting to be aware of that, that what I'm seeing, number one, isn't clear, and number two, may not be at all what the mind is suggesting that it is. So again, I want to emphasize that our mindfulness is our most important tool to be willing to see through, as we say, our perceptions, to at least realize that they may not be, well, they certainly aren't the whole truth. There may be truth to them, but they're not the whole truth. They're each one of our perspective. And with that realization, hold them lightly. Even things that can seem absolutely, certainly true can turn out to be only partial truths. And maybe not even true at all. Again, we saw that at the beginning of this pandemic, didn't we? Where one thing was said, I mean, you know, so little was known about this virus, about how it spread or what, you know, the treatment was, et cetera, that many things were said that later turned out not to be true. And I've heard some terrible criticism, which I think by and large is unfair, because I think it was a matter of ignorance, just not knowing. And as scientists, doctors, et cetera, learned more, then sometimes they changed what the recommendation was. That actually is more helpful than trying to hang on to a perception or an idea that may not in fact be true.